episode. Welcome to the Puyo Podcast. I'm your host, Eric, joined with...
A very sick Gonzalo.
And...
A not-so-sick Josh.
Fabulous. And we're going to talk about extreme crotching and stuff today.
Extreme crotching.
Should I tell my skateboarding accident?
You just did. I'll just...
Yeah, but no one recorded it. Oh,
it is recorded.
Oh, shit, it is.
It's constantly recording. Okay,
it's always...
I hope it's recorded.
You're going to scooch that in there.
Let me check if it's recording. Recording on! Okay, fantastic.
Eric will finesse that in there real nice.
Oh, I'm finessing so many things into the, I'm editing
please
now.
Keep talking.
Wow.
The level of finesse is like, imagine like the most finesse you've ever seen, but like, times 10. Call me Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh! Oh my god.
Smooth AF.
Dude.
Oh my god.
Oh, that came to me like...
That was good.
Oof. Extreme crotching does need to be the climax.
Is that when you, like, do a sack tap on a skateboard? Like, you know how when you go invert, you grab the board?
Extreme crotching! That's like when you... That's when you're on a skateboard and you try and do a kickflip, but the board touches the ground before
and then
it's still vertical, and it just
credit carding
and extreme crotches you.
That's what happened to me. I was trying to jump a gap, and I ollied way too hard, and the board went straight vertical. I didn't know where to land, so I just tried landing on my feet. Little did I know, my board was still underneath me, straight up like a skyscraper. I land on my gooch and my sack. I'm pretty sure I thought I heard something pop for a minute, and then like the edges of my board were not nice. You know, this thing was worn out. Like probably got like a splinter in there somehow.
That's extreme crotching.
Yeah, no, this is in like public too. Like people walking by,
and they're like, "Oh!"
So I was literally balancing on that board for at least like half a second before my feet touched the floor. Because I was short. This was like 7th, 8th grade. You know, and I don't think I cried, but I'm pretty sure I was on that floor for a good 10, 15 minutes.
You didn't cry, but your forefathers did.
Holding my dick in between my pants.
Your children cried. Thinking
it's over. Hey, dude, that I will not forget that pain.
And you're not sterile from that?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm probably sterile.
Okay.
Josh played another puzzle game, and since it's very out of the norm of what Josh usually likes, Eric is extremely intrigued and really wants to talk about it every time.
Exactly! So, tell us about...
Are you talking about Klax?
No!
No.
I wish. No, we're going to talk about a little game called... What is it called, Josh?
I don't know. What is it called, Eric?
It's called Pengo. Now, I've never played it, but you've played it. I know jack all about it, except for that it's on the 5200 and 2600.
And on the Mega Drive. Pengo is a extremely simple game. You play as a penguin, and he's being attacked by strange blob-like creatures that they call snow bees. And you have to defend yourself from these vicious snow bees by smashing them with ice blocks. And it plays very similarly to like a Pac-Man style, where all of the ice blocks are set around you in a sort of maze, and you're being chased by usually 3 or 4 of these snow bees at once. But instead of eating power pellets and things, you're able to maneuver the ice blocks in ways so that you can crush them either up against other ice blocks or the wall. And it's actually pretty addicting, I'm not gonna lie. The first couple times I was playing it, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. It took me a while to figure it out. But once I did, I played it for probably the longest that I played any game of Galloping Ghost.
No, wow.
I played it for probably a good, like, 45 minutes straight.
Holy shit. That's really? Crazy. Is that where you've been? Because I remember for a while I was walking around trying to find you.
Yeah, I was in the shooter room playing Pango.
What drew you to play it? Because, like you said, you're not really the puzzle guy, but...
It was one of the more recent acquisitions that he got for the arcade. That and Dragon Blaze were the two that I remember that were recent acquisitions. So I'm like, all right, I've seen a lot of the other games that he has here, so I'm going to try and find the newest ones and try those out. And the another thing that after I found the machine and saw that it was one of the newer ones, I noticed that the home field score was pretty achievable. So I'm like, you know, I'm gonna give this a shot, and we'll see if we can top this. I wasn't able to, but I got closer than I thought I was going to. So that's now my my goal for next time. I'm gonna practice up, and I'm gonna beat that home score,
which will be another year,
probably.
You gotta practice up with the Atari 5200 version, my guy.
Ooh, playing that 5200 version, my guy.
Oh, man. I looked up. Like I was watching something on YouTube, and then I had a suggestion of the video game years when they talked about the 5200, and they brought up Pango and how Pango is the hardest game to play on the 5200 due to the controller.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I don't know how I feel about that controller.
But it's on the 2600 if you don't mind 2-bit graphics.
You know me, I'm all about them graphics.
Or you can just
I'm a graphics kind of guy.
You can just maim the shit out of it, that'd be a lot easier.
I mean, I'll probably practice for Galloping Ghosts on meme, but oh, I would like to have an actual copy.
There you go.
Just because the format's closer.
You can probably get a complete copy for, like, under $20 for either of the two, I imagine. Yeah. It's not that highly sought after.
It's just more so incorporating that into my current setup. Is more of the issue.
Yeah, the 5200 is the size of, like, a small boat. So.
Yeah.
It was not a bad game. It's kind of fun once you get used to the idea of it. Of trying to squish the shit out of other things.
What is the Penguin game on the Master System that I thought was Pango, but I was wrong?
Penguin Land.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Is that Which good? I hope Penguin Land would play like Pango, but it doesn't. It's not bad. It's just a different style.
And isn't there like a penguin walking game for like the Famicom? It's like you walk forward, and it's like you have to dodge things.
Are you talking about the penguin game where you gotta get the gains?
No.
Is it voiced by Morgan Freeman?
Yes.
The young penguin set out, traveling across the land.
And so again, the white penguin takes care of his young. Forever in the icy tundra that is Antarctica.
Wow, you got it down.
Eating fish and caressing each other for warmth. Downy will clean them when the pollution starts from BP.
Where do you get this from? I'm impressed.
His brain. It's a deep, dark place.
We don't now, if Penguin... Pengol.
Pwengwin.
Pwengol.
Pwengwin
went. Pwengwin went. And now if Pengol was a brawler, it'd probably be called, Snows Flip. Out, Guns Out.
Flippers of Fury.
Oh, dude. Can you imagine those two-hit combo? Oh, sorry.
No, Street Penguin.
Street Penguin? He's got a bandana. And once he gets a level 1 hyper combo... He like has like a he builds like a freaking snow bazooka and like launches fucking snowballs,
dude.
For a 10-hit combo. It's like proton cannon except for a penguin. Proton cannon.
Yes.
Snowtown cannon.
Snowtown cannon.
Snowtown cannon. Snowtown cannon.
And he pile drives other king penguins into the snows.
Pile
driver. And the first stage boss can be a lion walrus.
Lion seal. Sea lion?
Sea lion.
Lion seal?
A lion seal, yes.
Yeah, lion seal? A lion walrus? Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yo, someone pitched this to some indie developer.
Dude, fucking do it. There it is.
Million.
Millions. We get 50% credit.
Stage 2 bus, 75%. Are you kidding?
I need at least a 65% profit margin on this.
65% profit margin.
I wanted to talk about a game that I started playing there, too, that I didn't tell either of you about.
Nobody freaking cares.
Oh, my God.
No, Eric, tell us.
No, it's fine.
Is it Need for Speed Underground?
No, it's fine. You can talk about that later.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Okay. So I didn't play it a lot, but when I did play it, I probably played it for like 45 minutes like you did with yours.
Oh.
And I don't know what drew me to it, but it was one that I never saw before there, and I was like, I'll give it a try. And it was Monster Bash, if you two know.
What the hell's Monster Bash?
Exactly. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. And it's very, very early, because it's like Pac-Man, kind of, just like yours, Josh. But it's like Donkey Kong, how it has, like, levels going up and down, or like Burger Time, I guess, or different floors. But you have to light all the candles in every stage, and once you light the candles, you collect the sword that you can defeat the boss, per se, in each level, which the first one is Dracula, the second one is something else, and then the third one is some, like, chameleon monster thing. But it's really cool, because...
Sounds like Monster Party.
It kind of, but not really. It's, I don't know if you had Ghost House for your Master System, Josh?
Yeah, I did.
It's kind of like that game. But I sat there and I played it for, like, a solid while, because it's, like, really good, because it gets progressively harder. Like, the first level's easy, the second level's, like, okay, and then the third level you have, like, spots where you can walk over and it changes the layout of the like, stage. So, like, parts are blocked off then, and then you gotta, like, get the candle, and then everything, spiders are going everywhere. It's really cool, and it was really fun when I played it. And it's made by a little company you may have heard of called Sega.
Sega!
You mean the company that ran out of the console race because they couldn't do it anymore?
Hey, refer to the pedal, my guy.
Hey, there's talk of a Dreamcast 2, okay?
They just denied that.
They denied it 100 times.
Yeah,
I know. It's a fucking joke.
When I saw that on my Facebook feed, I'm like, there is no... like.
Why would they name it Dreamcast 2 anyway? That's stupid.
Because yeah. Dreamcast is the only good system they ever had.
Shots fired.
At least I got to hear him say good system in seconds.
I love the Dreamcast. I think it's a great system. That's a freaking sick pillow. I don't even like... I don't like Genesis, but I like that pillow.
The pillow is spoken.
I don't know where you guys were at when I was playing Need for Speed Underground. I was literally on that thing.
You were there forever.
Oh my God, I loved it. I don't know what it was. I think it was the soundtrack and just like the fast-paced arcadey feel. And then swagging out to 24s. And that one guy, that guy was looking at me like, fuck.
Yeah, he was eyeing you up, man.
Dude, fuck that guy. I was having a great time.
He's like, get off my machine, motherfucker.
Yeah, as soon as I got off, he's like, no, fuck this.
We just hopped himself right in there.
It was good. And then they had, like, when the Only came on, I was like, oh my God, Slim Jim Static X. So good.
Slim Jim Static X.
Gotta pick up that Honda, that fucking Toyota Super, dude.
So you're gonna pick up that game now?
Yeah, I really want to pick it up. I forgot how fun it was. Even when I was younger, Need for Speed Underground 1 and 2 were good for the GameCube.
Let me see if I have it, because if I have it, you can just...
No way, dude. I can't take that away from you.
No, dude.
The customization was so good in the home systems. It sucks that the 350 Z is locked away, because that's like my dream car. What the fuck is that? Anyways, it was really good. Like, the music's great. I thought the visuals were really good for the time. Oh, it was just an amazing game. I'm really sad that the stick shift didn't work, because I really want to do 6-speed manual on a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Oh, it didn't work?
No. Well, It only worked... First gear worked, second gear worked, and then if you tried to go into third, it just went all the way to sixth. And then 4 and 5 did the same thing. So good.
And so good.
So good, girl. And then I tried to play an Initial D, and I didn't
know. Oh, that was so good.
I couldn't get into it, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm not japping enough.
We gotta go there again on a weekday when there's less people there.
Oh, yeah.
Because that area was, like, completely just overcrowded. I couldn't even go over there.
Hydro Thunder was really good, too.
Hold on. Initial D. I'm gonna talk about it.
It's not good.
Dude, Initial D.
So,
Initial D's nuts.
I've heard of it, the anime, and I was told, like, oh, you might like it. It's like a racing anime, blah, blah, blah.
They made a live-action movie, too.
That sounds like it's horrible.
I saw it. That's how I got into Initial D.
Was it a good movie?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Was it,
I liked it a lot.
The drift, like, Fast and Furious?
Like the racing and drifting. Yeah, it's obviously more drifting-focused.
Is it Tokyo Drift?
It pretty much is Tokyo Drift. You're not wrong.
It's Tokyo Drift the anime.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But, like, I've never seen it before, and the artwork on the cabinet's very, like, hand-drawn? Like, everything in the game was very hand-drawn. I don't know if the anime is like that.
The animation looks weird. Like,
it's weird.
They got really big eyes.
Yeah. The animation style is very similar to what the cabinet art was.
Oh, okay. But
it's very, very similar.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It used to be. I don't know if it's on anymore.
Probably not. But I played it, and I'm a huge racing game fan. I've always liked racing games, and I played them since I was younger. But
20 falls.
It reminds me a lot of Gran Turismo, just the way it felt. But
that hard type of realistic racing.
Mm-hmm. It's like you couldn't just like break drift. No, it was like you hit every wall. Like you had to know how to drive to play it, like or know the track versus like, what is it called? Ridge Racer, where it's like just brake, gas, drift like it's nobody's business, like that. But for that, and that's why I probably liked it so much, was because it was a lot like Gran Turismo to me. The graphics are really good. And the soundtrack was pretty good, too.
I wish they had Running in the 90s.
What is that?
Running in the 90s. It's one of, like, the song they made big by playing on Initial D.
But that's...
Cool story, bro.
That's fantastic. Okay.
Do you even race, bro? Do you even know how to play?
Do you even drift, bro?
Yeah, do you even play cruising?
Cruiser. Oh my god, I was sitting next to the cabinet and it was just screaming the cruising. Like,
oh, it's so good.
It's really good.
That theme song is like permanently ingrained in my head.
It was blaring out Initial D and I was sitting on the Initial D machine and I was like, Jesus.
That Initial D machine's fairly new.
Well, and that's like when we went there the last time we were trying to play NFL Blitz and it was that, the game that's right next to it, like where it's like the murder football league or whatever.
Yeah.
That thing. Gotcha. Oh my god, stop. Every 30 seconds it would loop and it was so loud.
Yeah, pigskin football. No, fuck that.
It was so bad.
I'm gonna get you. It's like the same thing when you're next to Turbo. You keep hearing the fucking.
Or the.
No, you keep hearing the freaking. Speed racer. You keep hearing Speed Racer theme.
Gosh. Yeah, dude.
It's like,
I can't even think of it now. But
go Speed Racer. Go Speed Racer.
He's
running up and down the track. He's revving up the engine and he's not coming back.
Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah, when I was like 2.
I never watched it.
Racer X. Oh, I am your brother, Speed Racer.
That was a bit before my time.
I think that's a bit before all of our time.
It seems you type.
It's like in... 60s, right?
Yeah, that's like pretty old.
Completely off topic. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers White Ranger Legacy Sword is available.
Ooh.
It's $100.
That's not. Mind. I feel like it'd be more.
That's actually not bad considering some of the other ones that I've seen.
Is it full size?
Yes.
What is it, Amazon or something?
It's like some collectibles site has exclusivity to it. I saw that. I thought you need to know. With the fucking tiger head. Oh my god, so good. If it talks, I will give all of my money immediately. Like, straight up.
What is the good Power Rangers game?
Just the movie, the game.
The movie, the game. Oh. Just because it's the only reason it's better than Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is because it has co-op.
Yeah.
They're like the identical games to each other, but the second one has co-op, which is why it's better.
The movie, the game's pretty expensive. It's like 40, 50 bucks.
Yeah, it's expensive as fuck.
So, I'm going to attempt to talk about golf games and see if you guys know anything about it. If it doesn't work, I'll just stop. But have you played any of the NES golf games? Because there's like 4, I think?
No. Sorry, sir.
Oh my god.
You're the whitest out of all of us, Eric.
You're the only one well versed in virtual golf video games.
Okay,
Hashtag Ronald Reagan.
Oh my god.
Hashtag Rossum.
I quit. I'm out.
This is the final airing of the Booyah Podcast. Thank you all for participating with us in this journey. We appreciate your support and dedication. But we have to split due to creative differences.
I have anxiety attacks now. Gonzalo got too buff that he can't come because he's so buff.
And
I guess Josh is just... You're gonna be the guy who still does it by herself.
I'm still the guy sitting here with no pants on, still talking to himself. In his empty apartment.
It's getting really hot in here, you gotta take the pants off.
Mr. Pants?
That weird thing? No, dude, it's not about Mr. Gimmick.
So after you two nerds leave, I'm gonna call it the Pants Off Podcast.
The Pants Cast.
The Pants Cast. But we talk about pants.
Okay, I could try to talk about golf games. I'll save that for another time so you guys can, like, look it up or whatever to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's definitely something we're gonna do.
Yep.
What the hell are we gonna talk about homework. Something that only you know about?
It's your homework. Study up. Okay, I'll talk about it now.
Talk to me about bench pressing.
Let's talk about golf.
Let's talk about bench pressing.
So, Cyber Tiger.
About golf, baby.
No. There was golf, like, on the Atari, and it's total crap. And there's also mini golf, which is even worse on the Atari. Atari golf games are just awful.
Ninja Golf?
That's 7800. But for the NES, it got, like, slightly better. Like, the Black Box Golf is not the best because it doesn't say how far your clubs go, so you have to kind of know or have the manual to know. At least I think in that version it is. And then there's like Jake Nicklaus Golf or Arnold Palmer or whatever. But then you have...
Yeah, dude, Jake Nicklaus Golf.
Yeah.
Jelly
Golf.
Thank
you. but there's the one that's the Nintendo Golf game. What is it called?
You're asking the wrong hombres.
Let me see if I can see it from here. What is it called? NES Open. That's what it's called. NES Open.
Blood holes.
That's better, and it has like a cool, like, almost story-esque mode, which is probably the best one on the Nintendo. And then, moving right along, as I'm the only one talking about it.
You want to talk about Lee Carvalho's putting challenge?
What the hell is that? I don't even know what that is. Super Nintendo golf games? Not the biggest fan. There's not really much in the ways of licensed ones. I'm not the biggest fan of the licensed ones. Genesis, none really. Except for the mini golf one that's by Electronic Arts. I forgot what it's called, but I'm looking for it. Then you get into the real beauty of golf, which is the Mario Golf.
Ooh.
Which I've played quite a lot of since you two f***ers don't play golf games.
Why in the f*** would we?
So, Mario Golf is really good. I have it on like, you have it on consoles and you have it on handhelds too, which it's really good on handhelds, and I'm glad they, like, they did the Game Boy Color one and the Game Boy Advance one, and they have the 3DS one that just came out. But the best one, in my opinion, is the first Mario Golf, which is on the Nintendo 64, which I've played quite a lot of, and the GameCube one is pretty good too. But they definitely, a lot of people copied them after they made it because it was so good, and it played very, very arcadey, which is better than simulation for a golf kind of game. And plus, mm-hmm. having the Mario characters makes it more entertaining and all that. But I particularly enjoy it, and it's one of the Mario Sports Series games that I quite like.
I guess I can talk about Hot Shots Golf.
Go ahead!
I do enjoy Hot Shots Golf from time to time.
I've never played it in my life.
It's very similar to the Mario Golf, where it's very arcadey. There's a level of depth to it, but it's usually pretty pick-up-and-play kind of game. They have a wide variety of characters that have a different kind of gimmick to them. Like, there's power shot characters, technique characters, blah, blah, blah. But it's just a nice, you can just sit there and just kind of zone out kind of game. I bought it. Game. Yeah, definitely.
Golf is, yeah.
I bought it as a, it was a flash sale, I think, on the, on PSN. It had the complete edition for like a grand total of like $4.99 or something. So I was like, okay. And I grabbed it, and I played it for longer than I expected to. It's not bad.
It's definitely one of those golf games that are, like, if I want to sit down and I don't want to be, like, totally engrossed in a game and just want to relax and play a game, I'll play it like a golf game.
I don't know why you're not talking about Lee Trevino's Fighting Golf for the NES.
Ooh, now that sounds like a game I could play.
I think I have it. It's not at all what you think it is. Also, I just picked up Outlaw Golf, which I was completely turned off from, because it's like, oh, it's like gimmicky, and I don't really care about that kind of like style of games. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know Outlaw Golf.
But I gave it a chance because I watched people play it on YouTube, and they're like, oh, it's pretty good. And I picked one of them up, and I played it, and besides the gimmicky parts where you can, like, beat the crap out of your caddy and all that, and the boob physics and all that.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Dead or Alive Golf Edition.
It's ridiculous. But it's actually a really solid golf game, and you can turn off all that extra crap, and you can just play golf, and it's really good.
All the Outlaw series are actually fairly decent. There's like one of them that's really bad, but I can't remember which one it is.
Is it volleyball?
I don't. It could be. I don't remember.
But bro, do you even right. lift?
Let me intermission call you back, because it's getting to the hour mark.
Call you back.
Intermission. Early, peace out.
See you.
Stay beautiful.
Always.
So, Josh introduced me to Windjammers, and I knew nothing about it.
He did the same thing
and
to me.
And you are welcome.
Thank you.
Yo, bro, he smoked this.
Since you know, or you were the grandfather, you grandfathered us in on this, why don't you explain what it is?
Windjammers is a fast-paced sports arcade game released by Data East on the Neo Geo.
Wow, dude. Wikipedia.
Yes! My body was ready for this.
Okay, let me talk about it.
Oh, man.
So, it's a mixture between Pong, volleyball, and I think that's it, really.
It's like air hockey it's air hockey mixed with mild abilities of volleyball, where you have like the lofting and things like that. But it's essentially it's essentially air hockey. But with a frisbee.
It is. I enjoy Pong as much as the next guy, but something about this game, like, I'm so sad that I can't afford any copy of this game because it's so good.
I know, dude. The only way to really play it is MAME. That's like the only affordable way.
But it's not the same. But
what the hell are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about whatever. You know what I mean. Probably the first game I will actively look for if I have a Neo Geo or Neo Geo CD will be Windjammers.
I mean, we're making it sound a lot simpler than it actually is. Like, it does have a great deal of depth in it.
It's got chord turns.
Yeah, you can use all directions of the joystick in doing different like quarter turn motions or things like that will give it different spin on the frisbee. You'll add different curves to it. If you hit the button that's used to throw it, as you're about to catch it, you'll bump it up. And the longer you stay underneath, you get more powered up special throws and things of that nature. It's so simple in its design, but so deep in its mechanics that it's truly something special.
It's accessible to anybody, but it's difficult to master.
It's so beautiful.
It's like the epitome of arcade games in my brain. It's fun, it's fast, and the
bright colors, fast-paced, great music, responsive controls.
Bingo. Boom. Data East.
Not Data freaking East, right there.
They're fucking kings, dude.
Oh.
It's so good.
Windjammers.
I sat there and I played through the whole entire game until I won.
30 seconds is not enough, though, I'll tell you that. You need to go up to like 45 or a minute for about.
That's for sure.
That's what separates the men from the boys.
Yeah, you kicked my ass quite a few times.
Bro, you can always just cheap it out and just throw it and try to make him hope he misses it.
Remember that one shot I threw at you and I just like curved it around you?
Yeah, like at the last second I just decided to like beeline.
Whoa, 5 points. Okay.
Aww.
There are some times when you like slide right into it and you think you don't have it and somehow you magically grab it.
Like grab it in the goal.
Yeah, like you grab it in the goal and you just snap it out.
Oh. From the jaws of defeat.
Highly recommend that everybody play this game. We're going to talk about the N64.
Okay, what about the N64?
Just talk about it. Because Josh doesn't know what fun is, and he hates babies, children, and laughter, and everything that you find.
Hey, man, dear to your used heart. To hate.
He's
kids.
Basically Satan.
I used to hate kids. Feed me,
feed me your hatred. It makes me stronger.
So, what I like about the N64 is that.
No, I wanted. Wait, hold on.
What do you want?
That look.
I was talking and you interrupted. What do you want?
Oh shit!
I wanted to ask you when the first time you played it was.
I don't know. Why does it matter?
Oh my god! Nintendo 64.
You want to be that kid?
It's the best system ever. You can't beat it. It's got the best controllers, the best games.
Okay, anyways.
No, go ahead.
All I know is that one day, my mama and daddy decided to take me to Walmart, that is now the Walmart Food Center. Pick that shit up, neon jungle green, see-through.
Oh, shit, you got that one?
Yeah, I got that one. I love Green Bay. No, I don't know where it went. I think it broke, and then we just got... For some reason, I have, like, three Nintendo 64s. I don't know how I got them. I don't know where they came from, but they're there. Wow. So, and I think the first game I picked up was Banjo-Kazooie with it. Got that, played the shit out of it. But what I love most about it is that it's, like, four-player ports are all set, where in the PS1 you have to buy, like, the multi-tap. Yeah, I'm like, I ain't about that life. So I can just hook up four players right away, just get, like, Perfect Dark or some shit, set it up. You know, it was really cool. And I thought it had really good graphics at the time. Like, now they just... Some games sort of hold up. Like, I still think Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie look really good. Killer Instinct Gold is, like, hell yeah. Still love it to this day. There's some games that I thought were good back in the day, like Tonic Trouble, where I played them now, and it's ass. It's horrible.
Well, you always like what you have, because it's what you have back then, so you have to, like, I guess.
Or, like, Space Silicone or whatever. Or, like, Space Silicon Valley? Yeah, Space... That game is not good. I do not like it. Space or there's some other weird game. Something about, like, Space Circus. I don't know the
full... Uniracers?
No, it's not Uniracers. You play some weird thing. It's weird to explain. It was horrible, shitty platforming. I remember one Christmas I got Sub-Zero Mythologies as a present.
Oh, God.
Are you talking about Starshot Space Circus Fever?
Yeah, that's the one.
The heck is that?
Got you, Bo.
Damn,
got you.
Dude, Josh has got it. How do you know that? Yeah, I did not like that game at all.
I actually did play this back in the day.
I got it like...
But it's your typical 3D... action platformer cash-in that was not developed right.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
It was not good.
Well.
No bueno.
And then the expansion pack came, and I remember my dad got me Donkey Kong Country, and I cried like a bitch that night because I couldn't play it because I needed the expansion pack.
Didn't it come with the expansion? Donkey Kong came with the expansion.
He rented it.
Oh.
You needed to rent the expansion pack, too, which is bullshit.
That's BS.
And I was like, I can't play my game, Daddy. I can't play it. I want to play Donkey Kong, but I just can't do it.
Donkey Kong.
He's like, it's all right, son. I'll go back and get that expansion pack. Later that night, he came back with an expansion pack.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What a good dad.
Dude, that's my daddy right there, man.
That's my dad. That's love.
That's my brother right there. But anyways, yeah. What were you going to say, Eric?
A lot of, like, Super Nintendo games... I feel they started on the Super Nintendo, but then excelled on the 64. Like, for example, F-Zero X.
Star Fox.
Fan-freaking-tastic. Amazing soundtrack. Amazing game. Played it for hours and hours.
F-Zero X is really good.
Mario Kart 64 was definitely better, in my opinion, than the Super Nintendo one. Hours of fun. Played it forever. Mario Party started on it, Mario Party 1, 2, and 3. 1 being my favorite, I guess, because that's the one I played when I was a kid. But also, Magical Tetris Challenge. Beautiful. Amazing game. Amazing. Amazing. You should definitely get that for Rachel, Josh.
It's on my list.
It's on my list, too.
Don't forget about Broom 64.
Doom 64? Didn't play it's that till later. But
on the list.
So good. Wave Race 64, fantastic.
Chameleon Twist, Excite Bike 64, Paperboy 64, Can You Get Enough 64?
I can't. Tony Hawk Pro Skater, somehow they ported that. I don't even know. But
Mystic Quest 64.
Mystic Quest? You mean Quest 64?
Quest 64.
Yeah. It's a Mystic Quest 64.
Same shit.
Oh boy. Like you said, Banjo-Kazooie
64.
Star Fox 64, Bomberman 64, it's okay, it's kind of weird, it's 3D. GoldenEye, which everybody says doesn't hold up, but I still like it.
It does not, dude, it plays like the ass.
Control, it's because you don't have two analog, you just use one, but I still play it with friends and you, like it.
They, like, remade it for the Xbox 360.
For the Wii.
But no, like, they, like, retextured it and stuff like that for the Xbox 360.
Did they?
Yeah.
Did it use dual
sticks? I think it uses dual sticks, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know how else you'd get around it, seeing as Xbox is dual sticks.
GoldenEye, they made a... You're talking about GoldenEye Reloaded?
No, like, they retextured it for...
Because of Rare.
Like, Marketplace, yeah.
Oh, okay, kind of like what they did with Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
And Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay. Gotcha.
GoldenEye Reloaded wasn't that good.
No, it was not.
That's what I heard. Turok, not my favorite game, but...
Turok 2, oh my god, so
Turok
good.
2. Turok 2, my guy.
Oh, dude, get the cerebral bore, where they shoots out that targeting machine and just, like, bores into their brain, and they're oh my god, I'm getting lobotomized, and then, just as you think it's over, he's like, oh shit, I'm dead. Boom! Fucking blows up. Half their face is gone.
So good.
Beautiful. Ogre Battle 64.
Do you want to pay $100 for that?
No, I don't.
Mystical Ninja 64.
Oh yeah, going on. Yeah, I never played that though.
It's fun.
Is that expensive?
I would assume so.
As it's you guys are passing over the best game on the Nintendo 64.
Oh, Hybrid Heaven?
No.
Yeah. Asteroid 64, right?
NFL Blitz 2000.
Who the hell plays sports games?
Dude, you just salty.
No, salty. I'm not salty because I wanted to settle it at Galloping Ghosts, but that machine broken.
That machine
is
ravaged. So ravaged.
I was ready. My body was so ready for that.
That was the loosest stick I've ever held on to.
It was really bad. NFL Blitz 2000.
It's so good. I love Blitz. Me and my coworker were talking about Blitz the other day and how it was so good and how he still plays it from time to time because he just can't. It's so fun.
It's just one of those games that you just keep playing, dude.
I want to put the hurt on you, boy.
Put the hurt on you, boy. The announcers, some of the stuff that they say is so good.
Yeah,
that was uncalled for, but a lot of fun to watch. Oh, he'll be picking his teeth out of the turf for weeks. It's so good. Midway.
You know how to do it right. Cruising World's really good.
World is really good.
Exotica, I don't know. Something about it is off.
Cruising USA is weird.
Because it's in the arcade, it had its own different engine, but for the N64, they used the same as the Cruising World engine. So all my memories are from the arcade version, where you could, like, you could hit the giraffes running across the road, and they would, like, break apart and shit, and, like, I remembered stuff like that, and then I played it on the N64, and I'm like, this is just...
This is not okay. This is not the same thing I
played. With somewhat different maps. And I was incredibly disappointed. That one didn't quite hold up.
What didn't hold up? Sorry, I
was nostalgia goggles with, Cruising Exotica just not hold up, especially compared, because all my memories are from the arcade version.
Yeah.
And the arcade was fantastic.
As most are, yeah. Also, I forgot to mention, Smash Bros. Started on that. Fantastic.
Everyone knows Melee is the best one.
Mm-mm.
No.
Everybody knows Gonzalo's wrong.
That is true. StarCraft 64.
Blows.
The only console port of StarCraft. No, it doesn't. It's perfectly fine.
You're blowing.
And it has the expansion in it and multiplayer. You just got no screen peek because it's StarCraft. But I think it's a good port.
Screen peek
because
it's the only port.
And I enjoy playing it. Also, we forgot to mention Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. So fine.
Ocarina of Time is the game I put the most time into on the N64.
Do you like the transition to 3D, or did you like 2D better? Because they're making both of the two nowadays.
I don't know, because I never played... Well, I shouldn't say I never played, but I did not play A Link to the Past extensively.
Uh-huh.
And I never had the original Zelda for the NES. Uh-huh. My original NES library was like a total of 5 games, and we didn't buy any more because at that point I was like 6. So they're just like, yeah, you got what you got.
Yeah.
So I was stuck with whatever my siblings had. So Ocarina of Time was like the first time I really truly experienced Zelda. Like, I played A Link to the Past. I played A Link to the Past briefly. Like, when we'd stay at hotels, they had those, those controllers hooked up to the TVs that you could order games through. Like, that was my first experience with Link to the Past. I played that for, like, I didn't go to sleep one night at a hotel. I just stayed up till about, like, 6 in the morning. And then pretended to be asleep when everybody else woke up and went, oh, it's time to wake up. Oh, okay.
Nice.
The TV was still on.
Very nice.
Whoops.
I was a sneaky kid. But, yeah, I mean, Ocarina of Time, I put so many hours into that. Just running around doing random shit. The fishing minigame.
Oh.
I spent so much time on that damn fishing minigame. I finally got the golden scale, which I didn't know was a thing when I was playing it.
And then you just get it and you're like, oh.
And then I got it and I'm like, oh, fuck.
It made it all worth it in the end.
And then, wait a minute, I can dive deeper? I know exactly where to go. You go to the dude's house and you dive in and you get the, was it a heart piece, I think?
I think so, I don't remember.
There's always something, you get something for it. Because I always tried to cheat and use the iron boots to just sink down there. And I'm like, there, I dove. And the guy's like, nope, you didn't dive. I'm like, fuck you, dude. I try and cut him. He wouldn't let me cut him. But yeah, I saw that game. I have a lot of fond memories for that game.
I have a lot of fond memories for Majora's Mask. But I didn't play it when I was younger. I played it when I was older. But I emulated it because I didn't have an expansion pack when I first started collecting. So I got, like, 30% of the way through the game, and I had to stop myself because I'm like, I gotta wait till I have it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because keyboard controls are just terrible. And you can't really emulate a 64 controller either.
No, it does not work well.
Even with, like a Bluetooth controller, you just can't. It doesn't work. So
it translates very poorly.
So I stopped and waited, and I still have yet to dive back into that and finish it, but
I hate Majora's Mask.
Well, I hate you.
Wow.
Podcast over. Getting
vicious.
Feed me your hate.
Why do you hate it? It's exactly like Ocarina of Time.
Oh, let me taste your tears.
Oh my god.
It's exactly like Ocarina of Time, except for one enormous difference.
Oh, are you talking about the restarting time?
Yes.
I don't mind that. That's fine.
That, to me, because of my limited experience with Zelda, what I thought a Zelda game was supposed to be was you explore everything and find everything and you take as much time as you want to, because I played that game for years.
Okay, all right. I see your point.
So going from that to you have 24 hours.
It's 3 days,
but it's like I was completely caught off guard, and I did not like it.
Well,
I got real butthurt real fast, and I never really touched the game again after that. I've watched other people play it, and like I understand why it's a good game, and I enjoyed watching people play it, but I don't think I can ever actually play it myself.
I like how dark it is, and
Majora's Mask is pretty fucking dark.
And
it's incredibly dark.
Something about it, I don't know, I like it better than Ocarina of Time. Maybe because it was at the right place at the right time in my life, I don't know. But I really like it. And I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jet Force Gemini, I've never really played it except for the terrible two-player.
It's got a great campaign.
I was so turned off by the two-player that I was like, this game probably sucks. So I didn't play it. But Gonzalo has told me to play it because it's supposed to be good.
It's fun. I like it.
It's a good game.
I will have to try it. Any other 64 games that... Oh, Pokemon Stadium and Pokemon Snap. Everybody's like, oh, it's so good. It is pretty good. I enjoy it. But Pokemon Stadium is really cool because... for the fact that you can take your Pokemon save from your Game Boy ones and import it into your 64 to battle those Pokemon that you've been, like, working and training for, like, whether you're finished with the game or still going through the game, and put them into the 64, I think that's really cool.
That was a very neat idea for them to do. And then, well, I mean, Nintendo's always had a very, well, not, I shouldn't say very, but a pretty good track record with incorporating their handhelds with their home consoles.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I say pretty good because this generation is completely absent. But
yeah, I don't know why.
But, I mean, like, yeah, with, like, the Super Game Boy before it, and then after that, the GameCube, yeah, the Game Boy Player for the GameCube, and just, like, being able to swap those things in there periodically, it's neat. It gives you, it's just a nice little customization touch that you can put for your Pokemans. That was cool.
And it, apparently it works for Donkey Kong 64, too, for some... I don't know exactly what it does, but it does something.
I didn't know that. I never had those games when I was younger because I never had the expansion pack.
It seems like you typed in douchebag. Is this correct?
What was that?
It's South Park's Stick of Truth.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
This game is hilarious. I love it.
What did you type in? Douchewad?
Douchewad, yeah.
And it's like, did you mean douchebag? That's so funny. That's fabulous.
Also, it's fantastic. Also, me and Josh had a really anime moment in King of Fighters 13 at Galloping Ghosts.
Oh, it was so beautiful.
What happened?
We were doing, like, his quarter turn punch special where he, like, charges up his punch and then releases it for, like, a good amount of damage. Except for some reason, like, the stars must have aligned because we did that move at the exact same second at, like, a very good distance, like, equal distance, and we just slammed our fists together. And it was like that, like, split-second freeze, and they just, like, backed off each other. Like, oh my god, it was sick.
It was quite possibly the most anime thing I've ever seen.
Oh, it made me so happy to see just that.
The two fists connect, and there's, like, the bright flash, and they both jump backwards and stand there for a second. It was like, oh, couldn't have planned it more beautifully in my head.
I like how as soon as we did it, we held it. We're like, we know what's gonna happen.
Charge that shit up, dude. Oh, so good. That's fabulous. Moments I live for.
That's why fighting games are best.
Thank you for listening to episode 5, and stay tuned for episode 6.